Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Alarm, the willies, the heebie-jeebies, panic. There are dozens of words for fear, but just one for an exceptional home security company to stop fear at your front door, and that is SimpliSafe, the home security that knows it feels good to fear less. This award-winning 24/7 protection protects your home through it all. Blizzards, blackouts, and burglars. SimpliSafe has won awards from the top tech experts that count. The Verge calls it the best home security. Reader's Choice from PC Magazine. It's a two-time winner of CNET Editor's Choice and a Wirecutter top pick. SimpliSafe has no contract, no hidden fees, and no gotchas. And they are always keeping their prices fair and honest. Thanks to SimpliSafe, fear has no place in a place like home. Try SimpliSafe with free shipping and free returns. You'll get a 60-day risk-free trial, too. Order now and have your home protected within a week. Go to simplisafe.com/ZBT to get started today. That's simplisafe.com/ZBT. Be sure to go there so they know that we sent you. simplisafe.com/ZBT. All right, welcome to the latest edition of Zero Blog 30. This is me, Chaps. My voice is completely changed. Just kidding, haha. It's Kate. I am leading the rounds today because Chaps is in the Jacksonville Jaguars stadium. He's stunting. He has a whole row of, he's got a whole row of trophies behind him. He's down there in Florida, but we've been informed that they're trophies for radio, not actual Jaguar accomplishments. No surprise there. Anyway, let's hop right into it.
We won the AFC South for the first time in 2017, so suck it.
Well, that's something, I guess. Round one, a study has come out with a list of the most dangerous military towns. Spoiler alert, Quantico doesn't make the cut, as nothing exciting has ever or will ever happen since officers are giant nerds. Round two, a high-tech stealth fighter was no match for a bird after a hawk cost the Air Force a cool $2 million last week. Round three, Gear Adrift was a gift for a ring of thieves and an elite commando unit after they stole over $300,000 worth of military equipment from 3rd Raider Battalion. Round four, the Department of Veteran Affairs is harsh in our vibes, man. They just came out against bills supporting marijuana research for vets. That always makes us crazy. Round five, this past weekend was Mother's Day, so shout out to all the military moms and spouses out there.
It's always exciting for me to come back. I got to hang out with some of the players earlier, so like the inner 12-year-old boy inside my brain was still geeked out that I'm at like my favorite team's headquarters and getting like a little bit of the VIP treatment. It was awesome.
And Chaps, for the listeners, why are you down there? What's going on?
I don't really know why I'm here, honestly. So their PR director reached out and was like, hey, do you want to come and be in a video with the Jags? And I was like, yeah, I do. I actually do want to do that. So I'm coming down here. I'm throwing out the first pitch of the minor league baseball game tonight or on Monday night. So I'm really looking forward to it.
That's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Sounds good.
Hell yeah.
So let's move on. Let's get into round one. Round one, what do we got, Cons?
All right, round one, we're talking a little deep dive study about the safest and most dangerous military towns. Vivint Security did a study, and they came back to us, and they said the safest military town is Quantico, Virginia, which I know you two will have some thoughts about that. And the most dangerous military town, I've actually never even heard of this town, but it is Anniston, Alabama. Chaps, Kate, what are your thoughts about Quantico, Virginia being the safest military town?
I'm actually shocked because Quantico Town, Virginia, Quantico is the most unique military base because there's a civilian town in the middle of Quantico where the base surrounds it. So if you live in Quantico and you don't have any like relationship to the military, you just have to show an ID card that says you live in Quantico Town and you get to go. Quantico Town, even though it's inside the base, which you would think is like the world's best gated neighborhood, it's not. It's like essentially a meth place. I'm shocked that it's number one. The only difference is it might be because military police aren't allowed to respond to anything that happens in Quantico. So it might just be the actual base, because the only town in Quantico is surrounded by the base. But you essentially have like a federal bubble around Quantico town where the police have to like come through the gate. They have to do all that kind of shit to get there. So it's essentially like Breaking Bad on a military base.
Holy shit. I didn't expect that. When I saw that Quantico was listed as the safest, I just pictured a bunch of officers wearing like, on the weekends, like wearing their khakis and their Dockers and their boat shoes and their little, like their little cons outfits, walking around, walking around.
What a shot.
Saying things like, oh, they can kick rocks. I just didn't think that there would be anything dangerous. And I also never realized there was a town in the base. I had never heard that before.
Like the best part about Quantico Town is that you could have in these tiny apartment buildings, you'll have like an old master guns who's on like his third divorce, eating nothing but ramen noodles, waiting to retire. And then some meth head lady walking around with her nipperoons poking through a wife beater.
Love when a good nipperoon poke is happening.
Is that what it's called though too? It's called Quantico Town?
Yeah, Quantico Town is inside Quantico. When I first heard about it and I was going to Quantico from Okinawa, I thought my sergeant was fucking with me. I was like, there's no way that there's actually a town. Like, yeah, it's like divided by Highway 95. And well, I was trying to like process all that shit. I'm like, you're fucking with me, dude. Like, this is the same guy that told me that Okinawa floated and you could scuba dive underneath the bottom of it.
Well, did That's you like it there? Story. Were you happy there, Chaps? Did you feel safe?
At Quantico? Yeah. I mean, as long as you don't, I guess meth heads kind of leave you alone unless you're trying to get into their meth. So I never had problems.
Yeah, as long as you're not hanging out with drugs. Them.
I wasn't going into Quantico Town except for to get a burrito, a breakfast burrito from a place called Little Harrios. Because everything else, you knew there was meth there. Like, there was no reason for a military member to be going there.
I am shocked. I didn't know that. Well, the most dangerous military town is in Anniston, Alabama. And that's where they have an Army Depot base. I never even knew there was an Army base there. But the Anniston Army Depot base isn't just in the 10 most dangerous military towns. It also has one of the highest crime rates in the country. One in 29 residents of this small city is likely to be the victim of a violent crime.
That's terrible.
When you consider that the Military Family Advisory Network found that 78% of military personnel live off base and in the surrounding cities, that's dangerous for the military personnel living off base too. I was really shocked by that.
Mm-hmm. And I would be surprised as to why anybody would ever want to live there. But something that I noted from the top 10.
You guys 10, and your Southern shaming on this fucking show. Unbelievable.
Well, you're not going to like what I have to say next then, because three of the top 10 safest military towns are found in my great state of New Jersey. So that should come as a surprise to no one, because New Jersey is a lovely place to live.
What a shithole. I can't believe New Jersey did well in this. I wasn't.
You were kidding. He's being serious?
No, I'm dead serious.
Yeah. Lakehurst, Maxfield Field, the Naval Weapons Station in Colts Neck, and then Rockaway, New Jersey, Picatinny Arsenal Army Base. Those three are all in New Jersey, and they're some of the safest. On the most dangerous
That's
side.
Fantastic so, name, too. Picatinny?
Picatinny. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing bad happens in Picatinny. So number one for most dangerous was Anniston, Alabama. Number two, Fort Polk, Leesville, Louisiana. That's a huge base, isn't it?
Yeah, Fort Polk is where you go. It's called, it's one of our training centers that we utilize before our deployments. And there is absolutely nothing going on at Fort Polk. So I'd imagine part of the reason it's one of the most dangerous places to live is because people have nothing better to do except break the law.
And I feel
Kate, fun fact about Fort Polk for Kate, every single soldier who's a female and smokes, they send her to Fort Polk because if she smokes, she pulks.
Oh, good thing I wasn't a soldier then. Dad.
That was a good dad joke.
Well, for the most dangerous ones, I was most interested in this list. Number three, Baltimore, Maryland Coast Guard Yard. Number four, Miami Beach, Florida, also Coast Guard. Number five, Edinburgh, Indiana. And basically, these are places that have a lot of poverty. But you don't think about that a ton of military personnel are living out and about in these towns.
Yeah.
And also just thinking of even Oceanside, California, like how shiesty, just that mile off base, that first stretch of road that there's like a town, any military base is like when you get that feeling that the carnies are trying to take advantage of you at the carnival games, that's what all those stores feel like.
Dude,
it's like a row of carnies waiting to take advantage of PFC Schmuckatelli.
That's why I thought last week what the Master Chief said was spot on, because you walk out any military base, you're getting a tattoo, you're getting a haircut, and you're going to a strip club like that, like right away.
Oh, yeah. It's all right there. So, yeah, I wasn't too surprised to see that there was dangerous military towns, but I think it was kind of surprising. I was reading comments from other people like who were shocked that anywhere around a military base would ever be shiesty, and it's like, oh, friend. You got to just...
They don't know. They don't know. And that ties into another story that we got later. But yeah, it's not like everyone's just walking around with weapons.
No. And like...
24/7.
Being outside Fort Bragg, too. I went to visit Fort Bragg once, and that town just gave me the heat.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. Speaking
up, we will probably be doing a little bit of rough rowdy outside there.
Yeah,
can't wait.
Perfect.
Last thing I'll say about this study, I think it's a little skewed, though, because never would I ever consider Miami, Baltimore, or Cleveland to be military towns. I think those towns obviously have terrible crime rates, but to call them military towns, I think, is a little skewed, in my opinion.
Right. True. I agree with that. All right, let's move on to round two.
As usual, I went down a deep dive on this. There are more than 14,661 reported bird strikes with civilian aircraft in the U.S. last year. That's about 40 birds hitting planes a day. And I thought it was interesting, when birds hit military planes, the remains of those birds are sent to the Smithsonian Museum, where they classify the bird, determine how it got stuck. So not only did this bird absolutely crush it, causing a $2 million damages, he's got a spot in the Smithsonian.
That's
like
pretty cool. Good for
living
him.
A life. So I'm glad nobody was hurt besides the bird, but he will live on in infamy.
I imagine that bird, like you said, Captain Sullenberger, but I like the, or Captain Sully, whatever the fuck his name is. I like the picture of that bird, that hawk, kind of like Euron Greyjoy, like whenever he thinks that he killed Jaime Lannister at the recent Game of Thrones, like looking up like, I killed an F-18. Like how good must it feel if you were a bird to take down that F-18 or whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly.
This is highly problematic though, because we're talking about $120 million airplane that has had many problems over the course of its lifetime. And now you're telling me $120 million plane can be taken down by a bird? That's just a bad look for the entire F-35 program. It's just one more chink in the armor there.
Should we cancel the F-35?
I don't know.
It's the first piece of aviation that we officially cancel on ZBT. Because you're right. Like, it seems like every single week there's an issue with this fucking plane. If you spend $1 billion on something, unless it's the Jags, it should work properly.
Yes.
Should at least be bird-proof, you know?
Yeah. It should be able to just, you know, suck up a bird and spit it out without issue.
I just love the thought of, like, a seagull.
Bird, I think. For the picture, it looks pretty bad. If the picture in our sheet is the actual bird. But, I mean, birds can be fairly big and, you know, pretty long wingspan there. So I understand, but.
Good point. Birds can be big.
Birds can be big. Well, now, did you hear, after this news came out, there's reports of massive bird farms in Russia. I feel like they're just going to cover themselves in birds. We're never going to be able to get in there. There's going to be birds. And it's crazy.
We're flocked.
Oh, we're totally flocked. Two dad jokes, one episode so far. And we're only on round two.
He's two for two. If he goes 5 for 5, hits a perfect game, I'll be impressed.
Well, Chaps is a man of many talents.
Well, we'll find out.
Talents, like bird talents? No.
Oh, many talents. Got it. Yeah.
Oh, heyo.
All right, let's move on to round three.
All right, round three is a story that I think will resonate with a lot of our military and veteran listeners. From 2016 to 2018, the motor pool and supply warehouse for 3rd Raider Battalion aboard Camp Lejeune were the targets of two groups of thieves within the elite commando unit. The culprits – let me stop right there. I've never heard 3rd Raider. Is that – what unit is that, Chaps?
It's like MARSOC.
Our special forces, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, the culprits are 5 Marines who managed to steal vehicle parts, military tactical gear, K-bars, Gerber knives, recon sleeping systems, Surefire flashlights, and even flashbang grenades in one instance. And then more than $300,000 worth of government property was stolen by one group of 4 Marines in 2017 alone. Some of the stolen gear found its way into a local Jacksonville, North Carolina pawn store, while other gear was sold to an unnamed civilian. This is a story that happens all over the military, not just in the Marines, but all over the place. You will walk into any pawn store because in addition to strip clubs outside, strip clubs, tattoos, pawn shops, those are the three things you will see outside any military base. And Dollars to Donuts, you will always find military equipment that some PFC is late on his rent and needs to make a few bucks quick. So he will take his sleep system down to the pawn shop and see what he can get. What are you guys' thoughts?
I think too, much like going to any pawn shop to see the military stuff, I think everybody has at least one story from their unit of somebody trying to sell some big deal shit. Mm-hmm. We had a corporal who was trying to sell NVGs from the armory on eBay. Like the government wasn't going to pick up on that and be like, hey, this isn't right. They found him. He went to the brig. He got completely fucked. So he deserved it. But yeah.
Okay. Con, you're going to love this story that I have, because there was I think he was the first lieutenant at the time who played basketball at the Naval Academy, and he came to Okinawa and worked at one of the bases there. And he was an MP too. And he got caught stealing like these expensive ass batteries from the armory. And he got in his letter, they couldn't like prove it, like prove it. But they had enough where they put, as a first lieutenant from the Naval Academy, do not promote, like in his package.
Ooh. Oh shit.
Canceled his career essentially as a first lieutenant.
Listen, you hate to see that. You hate to see that, but listen, you got to do the right thing when no one is watching, and you got to do the harder right over the easier wrong. And the problem with Kate, your situation with the MVGs is that those MVGs likely have they definitely have a serial number on them.
Yeah.
So anytime you try to sell something that has a serial number, it can be tracked back. So these guys who are selling like K-bars, Gerber knives, that is somewhat understandable. You might be able to get away with that because there's no way to really track that.
But I just like these guys too. In several cases, Marines moved pallets to block the view of a security camera at 3rd Raider Supply Warehouse. Other instances of theft, it wasn't just the K-bars and sleep system. 72 fixed rifle buttstocks, 130 rifle buttstock sub-assembly parts, and they put these into a Marine Corps 7-ton vehicle where the gear was then offloaded into a Lance Corporal's personal car. Like, where was the oversight here that they could take 130 rifle buttstocks and 72 fixed rifle? Like,
but how long that take? I mean, that would take like 20 minutes.
That would take a while.
But to get a 7-ton and then drive the 7-ton to somebody's car.
I'm saying the whole operation.
$300,000 worth.
I honestly think stories like this would have been a much bigger deal 30 years ago. When if you had MVGs that were taking 30 years ago, you couldn't find MVGs anywhere else. Now you could go on Amazon and get MVGs and thermal vision for like fucking $20. Like, I don't think that those type of – could you remember – it was that way when we were in Iraq and Afghanistan for us. Like, if you lost your MVGs, they had like you had lost the fucking war. Like, it would – you yourself caused us to lose Operation Iraq. The war on terror was over because Kate dropped her MVGs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We had that happen, and it was, like, a huge fucking deal. And, like, now, like, all-night operations are ruined because some guy out there is going to have one pair of our MVGs.
I'm going to interrupt and break off topic for a minute because I am sick of my fucking brain. My brain is the worst ever. I had such pre-PFT sleep last night that it drove me nearly insane. You know, when you have to wake up early in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
My flight here left the flight took off at 5:15 from San Antonio. So I had to leave my house at like 3:30. That means I'm waking up at like 3:00. I watch Game of Thrones. So I'm going down. I'm starting to bed down at like 10:30, 11:00. I know I have to be up in 4.5 hours and I don't want to miss the flight. It reminded me so much of those PFT or rifle range mornings where you get zero sleep because you're so nervous about oversleeping. So tired of that. I wish I could just start being late to stuff and just not show up places on time. Being punctual is a burden that I am tired of. And I say that knowing full and well that I'm in a building that Tom Coughlin owns.
Right. Yeah, so Chaps, I'm the same way. I can't, it makes me anxious as hell and sick to my stomach almost if I'm going to be late somewhere. So Kate, like, what's that like? What is it like to just not care?
Once you rip the Band-Aid off, it's really pretty easy going life. It's really not that bad. Speaking of, chaps, you will not be shocked to know I had a 6 a.m. flight out of Chicago this morning and I was literally sprinting. They let me butt in line at security and I was literally sprinting to the plane. I was the last person on it. But hey,
so
I made it.
Dave Portnoy wrote a blog about those people deserve to go to hell last week.
You know what's crazy? Chicago in the Midwest, like if I had tried to do that here in New York City, they'd be like, get fucked. You should have been on time. In Chicago, everybody was like, go, lady, go. You can do it. Ha ha. Everyone was like rooting me on through the line.
After what happened to Kevin McAllister, they should be a little bit more cognizant of what happens in Chicago.
I think so too. I agree.
One last note about my travels today. I almost threw up in somebody's face because it was an Air Force person wearing a bright blue backpack and uniform. I almost brought them out of the line at Starbucks to vomit directly into their own mouth.
Also,
Let's role play this real quick. Let's pretend you saw that guy and you actually did go up and say something to him. What would you say? Go.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if that's even against regs. So I walk in this morning, I get out of the Uber, and there's like a super boot line. It looks like just like a snake of boots in there because that's where Air Force boot camp is at. It's like they just graduated. They're getting ready to go on to their follow-on school. And most people are wearing like black or coyote backpacks. But this one hard charger decides that he wants to wear like an electric blue backpack. And my inner staff sergeant just wants to throw up. I just see that in uniform. I don't know if they're allowed to, because it was the same thing whenever I would see the Air Force women wearing like pearl earrings and uniform. As a Marine, that was shocking to me. Like whatever your regs is fine, but you go back to what you know. And I just thought, blue backpack, you get out of my face.
Well, I would praise him. I'd say this Air Force gentleman crossed into the blue.
You know what else?
He really embraced it.
On Fridays, they're allowed to pay like $5 and wear whatever color undershirt they want.
Shut up.
What?
Swear to God.
No, that's not true.
That can't be right.
I'm triggered.
At certain units, you'll walk in and they'll be wearing their normal camis and a red shirt is underneath it, an orange shirt is underneath it. And it bothered me so much when I was in that they were allowed to do it. I wouldn't make appointments to go to the doctor on Friday. I was like, I'm not doing it. I cannot see this monstrosity.
I would wear my New Orleans shirt with the tits on.
So like unit funds. So the $5 goes to like unit funds. It helps pay for the ball. Like it's a good program, but the Marine Corps would just never let that fly. I mean, what's next? Fucking Hawaiian t-shirt Friday at Randolph?
Like it'd be good for morale.
Doesn't matter. No one cares. Brand. There's other fucking ways to boost Brand. Morale.
Yeah. Brent's about to get fucking demoted.
I'm just saying.
All right. I've been talking about these a lot because I've been wearing them all over town. I was just in Talladega. I was in Chicago. The one thing that those two trips had in common, I had Shady Rays on my face. It's an independent sunglasses company, so it's not just some big corporation overcharging for sunglasses. Everyone knows they're way overpriced normally, but Shady Rays is out to do it differently and give people a lot more bang for their buck. The shades are polarized and made to hold up no matter what you do outside. So if you want to save a Benjamin, give them a shot. And the craziest thing about Shady Rays is the warranty, though. They told us it's the best warranty in all of eyewear, and I couldn't agree more as someone who loses and breaks her sunglasses all the time. They offer free replacements if shades are lost or broken for any reason. It doesn't matter what happens, dropped in an ocean, lake, whatever, they're going to replace it. Try that with your high-priced shades and see what they tell you. They're probably going to tell you to go fuck yourself. Plus, the quality of every pair is guaranteed for life. If you ever have any craftsmanship issues, they'll replace them at no cost to you for life. Really doesn't get better than that. Even with the strong warranty, they still manage to make quality. And I can tell you, again, they are cape-proof. And I put them through hell. They're still holding on. I got two pairs I love. And most Shady Rays are only $45. So they provide 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order placed so you can feel good about your shades. They stand behind their product. And if anyone has a problem, they throw profit out the window and make sure to get it right. Free returns and exchanges. You'll either love the shades or Shady Rays will pay to ship them back. That's it. And right now, exclusively for our listeners, they gave us the best deal they have to offer. This is a Black Friday level deal bringing you into summertime. Use code ZBT for 50% off two or more pairs. Buy one, get one free. You can get two pairs for $45. This is the best deal Shady Rays offers exclusively for Zero Block 30. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all the newest and best shades. For round number four, VA, don't kill my vibe. The Department of Veteran Affairs has opposed three legislative proposals that would expand research on medical marijuana at the VA and give veterans access to the drugs in states where it is legal. During a hearing last Tuesday, VA officials told House lawmakers that as long as marijuana is illegal under federal law, the department cannot support legislation that promotes its role at the VA. Larry Mole, chief consultant for population health at the VA, said, "In the end, we need to go back to the DEA and Justice Department for their opinion. I say, try the fuck harder, Larry Mole. I feel like the VA is just sitting idly by while they know there's this thing that absolutely there's proof that it benefits veterans and those suffering from PTSD and chronic pain and all sorts of things. And they're just sitting idly by and saying, we're going to be big ass pussies about it and we're not going to do shit about it, even though we know it's detrimental to the veterans that we're supposed to be serving." Three of the bills before House Veterans Affairs Health Subcommittee relate to medical marijuana. One would allow VA health providers to recommend medical marijuana to their patients and then help them fill out necessary paperwork to correctly enroll in their state marijuana programs. Another would protect veterans' benefits by prohibiting the VA from denying health care and compensation for veterans participating in state medical marijuana programs, which that to me was problematic because that shows to me that the VA is denying health care for those participating in state medical marijuana programs. And basically, the VFW supports medical marijuana. Disabled American Veterans supports medical marijuana. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America supports it. And like they said, the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America director said, it's past time for the VA to catch up. Veterans are suffering from their injuries today.
Yeah, and it's partly because Congress is a bunch of pussies, like you said, Kate. Like, they just flat out are. The reason why that they can't do that, the VA has to say that because it's a federal law that says that you can't have a class one narcotics be prescribed. But that is bullshit. Just change the designation because you have things like codeine, you have Adderall, you have Xanax, you have so many opiates that are prescribed that are all class one narcotics as well. They're just in a different classification of those class one narcotics. Just go to the federal code, switch it to the one that's allowed to be done, and be done with it. If you don't want to have recreational marijuana be legal in the country for some godforsaken reason, okay. But allow people who would actually benefit way more than opiates to have it. I mean, you can control it. You could even say that back in the day, the argument was that we can't control the amount of THC in something, like if you're just smoking it. Mm-hmm. That's not the case now. With edible gummies that are 5 grams of THC or whatever it is, you can do all of those things. There is no logical reason why there is not medical marijuana prescribed at every single VA.
Right.
I mean, chaps, think about what you said, though. The fact that you can go to the VA, I can go to the VA right now today and get a prescription for some form of opiate without really any issue. I could get it pretty lickety-split.
Because you can't contain. You just can't.
Right. But then they won't prescribe me medical marijuana if I'm in a state that does not legally recognize marijuana as for medicinal purposes.
Not even that.
Not even that. You still can't.
They can't.
I know that. But I'm just saying that they will have no problem prescribing these drugs that have proven to be very problematic for people and very addictive and have terrible side effects. Like, tell me the last time you heard of someone dying from smoking too much weed or ingesting too much THC, because I've never actually heard one of those stories reported.
And the other thing too that is frustrating, I just wish the VA would fight for us. I feel like they're just rolling over. Keita Franklin, the VA's National Director of Suicide Prevention, said that while the department supports research and is in a trial for using it to treat PTSD, it opposes these bills that would be so beneficial. Fight for us. Show us that even if you know you're going to get downturned because federal laws, at least show us that you give a fuck and that you want to try and make a push for it, because then it would get the attention it needs to get the ball rolling on these things, especially when you have almost every veteran organization across the board saying, help us do this.
Yeah. Nobody wants to rock the boat.
I would rather somebody fart into a microphone than give that kind of statement. Honestly. Yeah. Just fucking rip one.
All right, just ready? Hold on. I'm going to do it, chaps.
Don't do it, Kate.
I'm going to do it.
I think she pushed one out.
God.
This is just so frustrating. But you need someone that is willing to stand up and buck the trend, because there's so many politics around all of this right now. No one wants to be the one. Because I guarantee, I bet you some of these people that are even making these statements don't actually fully believe what they're saying.
They're probably high when they do it, honestly.
Yeah. They just have to toe the party line for whatever it is that they're working for. And we really just need one person to start that ball rolling to get the veterans the help they need. Because we saw one tweet.
I think Kate just did it.
Perfect.
I did.
All right. Round five.
All right, round five. We're recording this on Monday. Yesterday was Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there, especially the military mothers. I saw President Trump tweeted that military mothers are the backbone of the military, which I wholeheartedly agree with. But
everybody knows it's sergeants, but go ahead.
Yeah, everybody knows it's the NCOs, but maybe moms do. But apparently Google loves the troops, and I didn't know that, but a new search feature announced Friday by Google and designed specifically for military spouse job seekers aims to make it easier to find remote jobs. Thanks to this upgrade, now users need only type their field of work and, quote, work from home or a similar phrase into the search box to specifically pull out jobs that can be done remotely. The search upgrade was one of several announcements made Friday by Google to coincide with Military Spouse Appreciation Day. So also shout out to all the military spouses out there. Although it will not only look for jobs targeted at military spouses and can be used by anyone interested in remote work, the company launched it because of its ongoing efforts to promote veteran and spouse economic growth. This announcement is really about the unique needs of the military spouse, Jacqueline Fuller, vice president of Google.org, said. This is one of the things we've seen in the top queries and job searches. We've seen huge growth on this. The remote work feature is something that we've been really excited to see launch. So I think it's also awesome to mention that Google last year introduced a new search feature that designed to help veterans find civilian jobs that correlate with their military occupational specialties, their MOSs.
Now,
I had no idea Google was so pro-veteran.
I'm still more of an Ask Jeeves lady myself. I'm waiting for Ask Jeeves to come out with something like this. But basically, I mean, and they're saying like they actually just made this search tool for anyone, but because it's like Appreciation Day or whatever, they're like, it's for the veterans, but that's still cool though, and I could see that being a huge
problem. let's not crap on Google.
I'm shitting all over Google. They're a giant brand.
You know what? I would be impressed if Google knows, after they have targeted me so many times with advertisement. Like, for instance, I bought my wife this lovely Mother's Day gift that's a four-sided necklace that's engraved on all four sides. One says Kelsey, one says McCartney, one says Gus, and one says Pepper, our old cat. And she absolutely loves it. And it was a targeted ad because it was Mother's Day. I bought that bitch last Tuesday. Guess how many days after I still saw the fucking ad? Google needs to know, once I buy something, stop advertising. I'm not going to buy it twice. Advertise me something different that is going to get me maybe a blowjob, something like that.
Yeah. Google keeps popping up advertisements for me for a high-end dating site where like rich people go. And I was like, what? They know me? I'm slumming it. Huh. Anyway, thanks for giving us this opportunity to shit on Google cons. But it's very nice thing they're doing.
No free ads for Google.
I'm always impressed though when I learn about another company that has an initiative to help veterans and our military families, because I do think it is important. Obviously,
it is
so good. That's for them, nice. Despite you too.
All right, what safe rounds out, guys?
Cons. Our guy Johnny Sir Dick, the West Point lacrosse player.
Fucking unbelievable.
Old Sir Dickaroo.
I didn't put this. I want it on the record. I did not put this
on. Five episodes in a row.
There was a big push to make him the number one. I don't know. He's like the most popular lacrosse player. It was like a vote. Like, who do we like the best in lacrosse? And he won. I think it's because his name was Sir Dick.
Honestly, I changed my opinion on the whole Sir Dick family. I'm welcoming any Army lacrosse references because the Cerdix followed us they followed ZBT on Instagram and Twitter. So if we don't like you or we talk shit, we make fun of, we never didn't like them. Let's be honest.
I loved them from the start.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no. So I was the one who said some inappropriate things. If I say that I don't care about what's going on, if you follow us, then I immediately change my opinion.
Perfect. All right. Any other saved rounds?
Yeah, we got to fit in a little bit of Game of Thrones talk. I found there was definitely a parallel scene in Game of Thrones last night that one of my personal favorite war movie, Platoon. So Jon Snow and Charlie Sheen kind of did the same thing where they're like kind of figure out they're like in the middle of all this chaos and they see somebody that's supposed to be like one of their brothers in arms taking advantage of a woman like out in an alley, and he kind of like stops him, pulls him off, saves the woman. Charlie Sheen did that in Platoon. Jon Snow just did that in Game of Thrones. I just found that kind of like an awesome little parallel there.
Nice.
Cons?
Yeah, so what happened was Johnny Sherdick and AJ Barreto were named All-Americans, so congratulations to them. Being an All-American is very cool. But anyway.
I wonder how many Dr. Peppers they drank.
Hopefully we'll find out. I read today that on June 2nd and June 5th in 600 theaters nationwide, the movie Saving Private Ryan is going to be shown in theaters again, which I think is very cool. I didn't actually see that movie in theaters when it first came out, so I'm thinking I might try to see it in theaters now because that is one of those ones where experiencing it with all that sound and the size of the screen might change the experience for you a little bit.
If we all go together to watch it, which I think we probably should, maybe I'll make a little trip up there that time. I promise you, this is a promise that I make to the listeners. I will cry like a little bitch on the quarter deck.
Yeah, me too.
Watch that together. I cannot do it, man. I cannot do it. That movie is tough.
It is tough. And
let's
then
have a good team ugly cry.
That'd be perfect. We can hold
good
hands
and
something. All right. And then the last thing. This is really just an observation, okay? This is not meant to be any sort of slight or critique. Chaps, you do you, buddy. I love that you are your own person and you
this is about
not,
my head.
No. I think your head looks great.
Okay.
It's about, I've noticed recently, you don't button your polos up more than one button, sometimes none. So in some pictures, it looks like you're waiting for the John Travolta Saturday Night Fever remix with how far your collar is pushing out.
I don't know if you know this, Cons, but I've had sex with my wife over 1,150 times. So,
whatever.
The number's gone up.
So that was just my observation. But everyone, if you see Chaps in a polo and he looks like John Travolta from Saturday Night Fever, maybe point that out. I don't know.
That's fair. All right. So my safe round is that we are going to Charlotte, North Carolina this weekend. Am I right?
Yes. No.
No. Memorial Day weekend.
We're not doing anything this weekend. So fuck it. Sound the retreat.